May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Pressing on from our lesson from Philippians. Conrad Murrell, in his book, Faith Cometh, tells about counseling a man who was struggling with the teachings and following Jesus. The man's wife threatened him that she would leave him if he got too serious about the faith because, she said, it would interfere in my lifestyle. Now, actually, studies show that for most Christians, the faith hardly influenced their lifestyle at all. Right? At the same time, this man's business partner was pressuring him to engage in unethical business practices. And to top it all off, while on a business trip, a very attractive woman made sexual advances to him. He did not give in, but he was seriously tempted. He was torn between two worlds, a commitment to Christ and the world to do what he's always done, to do what feels good, to do what gave him immediate results. Was it worth it, the cost to follow Christ, he wondered, to give up his old life and all that he had liked? I believe this is the central question for everyone who calls themselves a Christian. Will you follow Jesus even if it costs you? If it doesn't cost you anything, are you really following him? Many have never settled in their own mind if serving Christ is the most important thing in their entire life. They just haven't settled that question. In our scripture today, the Apostle Paul most definitely is urging us to do just that, commit ourselves fully to Jesus Christ, to make following Jesus Christ the number one thing in our lives. In an autobiographical way, Paul declares that's exactly what he's done. Paul starts out saying, "My previous accomplishments pale in comparison to knowing Jesus." More than pale, he really considered everything he did up until then, in comparison, rubbish, garbage. Christ had seized Paul. He would be a picture of what the gospel can do in a person's life, how a person could be transformed. You see, here was a man who hated Jesus, hated him. He believed that he was holy before God. He believed that because of his obedience to the law, that he was superior to everyone else. But Jesus took a hold of him and showed him how he was utterly sinful. In spite of this, it was also revealed to Paul that Jesus died exactly for those sins of his and gave him that grace, an undeserved love of God for him. From a sinful and arrogant and boastful man, he was transformed into a man who wanted to serve Christ. He wanted to be like Jesus. He wanted to think like Jesus. He wanted to act like Jesus. He wanted to treat others like Jesus treated them. Paul wanted to grow and mature in Christ. And that's what this sermon's about, growing and maturing in Christ. But there are a lot of things that stymie our growth in Christ. Obstacles galore. The things of this world can take over our life, and we become so committed to them that we step away from Jesus. Joe DiMaggio, commenting on the suicide of his former wife, Marilyn Monroe, said this: "She had everything to live with, but nothing to live for." We press on to gain money and power and pleasure and preeminence and popularity, and we're left with nothing. In the end, left with nothing. In Deadwood, South Dakota, there's a museum in which there is an inscription left by a beleaguered prospector. It reads this way: "I lost my gun, I lost my horse, I'm out of food, the Indians are after me, but I've got all the gold I can carry." little short-sighted, wouldn't you say? Right? I mean, but this is what idols do. They deceive you. They think you have it all when they're really just leading you away from God. Another obstacle is a love for comfort over a commitment to Christ. When you think about it, did God promise us comfort if we followed Christ? Quite the opposite. He said, sometimes life is going to get very, very complicated for you. The late Adrian Rogers once told Sing an ad for a drive-in passion play. Now, passion play, of course, depicts the suffering, the torture, the crucifixion of Jesus. So it's rather dark and dramatic. But this passion play was like a drive-in movie. You could watch the story of Jesus without ever getting in your car, out of your car. And so here was the byline of the ad, right? Come and experience the life of Christ, all from the comfort of your own car. Rogers wrote, I pondered that, and I was overwhelmed with the truth that we can not experience the life of Christ or the life that Christ desires for us or be the church that God desires us to be from our areas of comfort. We have to get out of the car. We have to get out of the car. So love of comfort is an obstacle to maturing in Christ. And the third obstacle in pressing on with Christ is obsessing about the past. A past sin may come up into your mind, and you hear that voice saying, you're not worthy to follow Christ. Now, every time I preach, I want to preach Jesus Christ, and I think of him in front of me. But right behind me is there's another voice that I hear, constantly hear it, right? It's Satan saying, who are you to preach this? If they only knew really about you, you phony, you hypocrite. Satan right there. He's always on my left shoulder. He never moves over to the right shoulder. It's always on my left, yeah. So what does Paul say? He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Let me translate that. As long as you are alive in this world, you need to be growing in Christ. Paul uses the word to strive. That's an interesting word. The word is a picture of a runner propelling himself forward in a race to the finish line. That burst, that moving your head and chest to break the plane, to be the winner of the race. That's what the word strive means here. We should not quit because we stumble along the way. Who won't stumble along the way? There are periods of time when we'll be despondent about our Christian faith. And there will be times when we're excited and on fire for him. Don't quit. Don't, because you stumbled, you get back up. You get back in the race to know the wonderfulness of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, Hebrews 12, verse 1 comes to mind. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Get up. Persevere. So what are the obstacles keeping you from growing in Christ, becoming more mature disciple? Is it your love for the things of this world? Is it your love for comfort? Or is it something in your past that trips you up? To press on is to heed the call of the Holy Spirit and catch the vision of your God-given purpose. Your purpose is how you uniquely serve Jesus Christ in this world. The most fulfilling moments of your life as children of God is when you realize that God used you to accomplish His will and His purposes. That's the most fulfilling moment of life. It doesn't have to be any grandiose cause. You can serve Jesus right where you are, whether it's a big task or a small one. You know, a story I've never forgotten is about a missionary nurse who went to India to serve and help the people in India that had leprosy. So a mission trip went over there, and one woman asked this missionary nurse, or commented first, "I wouldn't do your job for $1 million." And the missionary nurse responded to her, "I'd do it for nothing for Jesus Christ." She was fulfilling her purpose. Fulfilling, and that's a big deal, I know. But think of what you do every day. Your job. What do you do in school? Since some of you are retired, you're not retired from the service of the Lord. What do you do in retirement? Who gets to direct your in your life to tell you what to do? Who's your boss? Who's your boss? If you're a Christian, it's Jesus Christ. He's your boss. That's what we mean when we say Jesus is Lord. Take the word Lord and put boss. Take the word Lord and put master. He gets to tell us what to do. He's our Lord. What finally matters to us as Christians is not so much what people think of us, but rather whether we have the applause of heaven. We're fulfilling our purpose here on earth. To press on is to a call from God to be absolutely determined to follow Jesus, to persevere and not quit believing and following Him. There is no ceiling on discipleship. You know, at 70, you may be a more committed disciple than you were at 40 or 30 or 20 or 10 years old, right? No ceiling to growing in Christ and to finding out what He has in mind for you, how He would like you to serve Him. And so we never give up. Tony Campolo tells this humorous story about a friend of his who attended a prayer meeting where people shared how God could answer prayer. There was an elderly missionary lady and told how she was in the mission field. She entered the mission field with at least one purpose in mind, to find a husband. Find a husband. She wanted to be married. The other missionaries she worked with were all married, and they had wonderful companionship, and she didn't have that. She longed for the kind of companionship that they had. She had prayed long and hard for a husband, and it had not happened. So out of curiosity, one of the women at this meeting in the group inquired, "Why, in spite of all your prayers, had you not gotten married?" The elderly missionary woman smiled, and she said this, "Somewhere there's a 70-year-old man who has been fighting the will of God for 50 years. She never gave up. Sadly, and if you've been a pastor like Pastor Danny and I, we've seen this. Sadly, people who become less devout as time goes on. They grow weary of worship, of praying, of studying the Word of God. They don't quit abruptly. They slide away. Just slide away. Many of them declare they're Christian, but the joy is gone. There's no mark of Christ in their lives. Please don't let that happen to you. It doesn't have to happen. If you persevere in staying close to Christ, the excitement, the joy, the love will rise again and again. Yeah, there will be times when it's not there the way you would want it to be. We go through rough times. But if you persist, persevere in your commitment to Him, the joy will return, the excitement will return, the clarity of your mind and heart will be there. I began this message relaying what Pastor Merle and how he counseled this man torn between two worlds. Would he follow Christ or would he go with what seemed easier to him, pleasing to others? The pastor gave him four options. You ready for them? These are the four options he gave. Number one, he could leave things just as they are, meaning continual moral and spiritual struggle. Just tough it out and live with the ambiguity. That was option number one. Option number two was simply to stop following and serving Jesus. Live your life for yourself. Do whatever felt good to you. Option number three was kind of a shock treatment. He said you can commit suicide, right? All he wanted him to see is how serious this situation was. He was at the crossroads of what he should do. And option number four, the final option, was to follow Christ no matter what it cost him. To obey God, even if it meant his wife left him. Even if his business partner stole money from him. Even if he had temptations come away that seemed like they couldn't be missed. The temptress. He could give up everything. He could trust in Christ, and he could measure success through what he had in Jesus Christ. Everything he used to give toward ungodly pleasures, he could give it all up. Give it all up for the sake of knowing and serving God. As Pastor Merle said right at the end, live, die, sink, or swim. You must follow Jesus. You must follow Jesus. I think that's what's being said to us. We have to follow Jesus. He needs to become the most important thing in our life. You say, well, what about this or about that? Yeah, they may be important, but they're not as important as Him. Let there be no turning back, no winding down, no giving up. Haven't we found our reason for living? It's to serve the one who served us first. It's to love the one who loved us first. It's to be Christ's man or woman in this world. So if you're tripped up in the race, get back up. Be others to help you up. Keep going. Keep serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's your purpose for being. Don't quit. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and always. Amen.